Second agenda item, presented by Jeff Hewlett and Paul Harvey, who are with this Merrill Lynch slash BlackRock, I believe.
Mr. Chair, directors, if we may, we'll turn to the Black Portfolio book.
Page 14 under section 3 is where I'll cover just briefly the values and address compliance. If you look at the bottom left hand, everybody catch up. Page 14. In the bottom left-hand corner of that, you'll see the total account plus accrued income shows a value of $26,879,000. That's approximately $2 million more than what we reported from the last report. As Mr. Worley has already said, there was an actuarial employer contribution of $871,000, and the portfolio has grown approximately $1,180,000 from the August report to this report, which closes November 30. Good performance. If you look at the pie charts, the one on the left is from the last report to the current report closing through November. You see there's very little difference in the asset allocation, slight increase in the equity portion, and a slight decrease just in the percentage part of the fixed income. We've actually been adding to the fixed income, but the equity portion of the portfolio has been outperforming the fixed income. With that, the asset allocation is in compliance with investment policy. And just as a short review, the equity range for equities is 45% to 65%, fixed income 30 to 50, and cash 2 to 10. The current value as of Friday of the portfolio is $26,977,000. We've actually broken through 27 earlier in this month, but the market has been volatile. If there's any questions for me, if not, I'll turn it over to Paul Harvey.
Thank you. If you can leave your book to where it is right now, I'm not going to go over the outlook that's in the book. That was more a fourth quarter outlook. We were trying to get the books out to you, and before we had our initial outlook from Bob Dahl with his top 10 predictions. So it's not in the book, but if you'll look at this separate handout, this is what I'm going to address in terms of going over what our outlook is for the year, and then we'll go back to the book in that same section that you were at before and begin reviewing that. So I'll give you just a minute to find this page. It's actually at the bottom part of the page is where his top 10 projections are. Looking back briefly at 2006, we had surprisingly strong global equity markets. This was in spite of rising interest rates, a slowing economy, midterm elections, as well as the Iraq situation. So we had expected stocks to be the top performing asset class. They probably outperformed our expectations, however, coming in about 15% for the S&P, and we'll get into performance a little bit later. But again, we did have good returns last year in 2006 in global equity markets, and that came primarily from profit growth, where we had our fourth consecutive year of double-digit earnings growth. So that was a record. We really had not expected that. And going back to our projections last year, we had actually expected earnings to disappoint somewhat. They did not. We'll get to that again in our top projections for this coming year, because we do think they're going to start slowing down. We had also expected a significant correction on the order of about 10% sometime during the year, because we were overdue for that. We actually did get a correction. The average stock is down about 12% from peak to trough. That happened the first part of the year. We bottomed the middle of last year, and the most significant part of that projection at the time was that we felt like that would set the stage for the next bull market, which we feel like we are now starting. That came after the lows last summer, so we feel like we're still in that that environment and are positive on stocks going forward. Turning to this year and our projections, first projection is that the U.S. economy slows to 2 to 2.5%. and the non-U.S. growth remains relatively robust. So this is coming on the heels of housing being a headwind for the economy. We expected the economy to start slowing last year. It did indeed start doing that. We feel like there's going to be a continuation of that, and the global growth will actually slow to about 4 to 4.5%. That said, our expectation is that we're going to have a soft landing, so that will carry into our outlook for overall stocks. The next projection, number two, earnings growth in the U.S. is below trend for the first time since 2001. I mentioned that we had had five consecutive years of double-digit growth. This year, and to give you put this in perspective, we've had double-digit growth. Typical earnings growth historically is about 7%. We do expect the rate of growth to slow down actually below that, to be in the mid-single digits. So that's where we'd expect it to start coming in last year. What this will mean is that we could have some earnings disappointments. We're actually starting to see some of that in the first quarter. So that would be a backdrop for corporate announcements anyway. The third projection is that the U.S. yield curve turns modestly positive as short rates fall and long rates rise. As you recall, we still have an inverted yield curve right now. We project that last year where short-term rates are above long-term rates. That typically slows the economy down. We think that sometime during this year that will reverse course. That's going to be twofold, one being the short-term rates. We feel like the second half of the year, the Fed will probably start easing rates. They're coming up on another meeting pretty soon. We don't expect them to ease then. Right now, media reports and consensus seem to be that the language of the Fed right now is that they may be tightening rates, or that they're really looking more in that direction. We don't expect them to tighten. And again, we feel like by the middle of the year, they'll start easing rates because of the slowing economy and the continued slowdown in housing. Longer-term rates, however, may increase a little bit. There's been a strong demand outside the U.S. for our bonds and our debt as people outside the U.S. buy our bonds. That depresses the interest rates longer-term. So that's kept rates down. We'll see a slowing of demand there. That'll allow long-term rates to increase a little bit. Short-term rates coming down, that'll be back to a more normal yield curve, which longer-term is a positive for the economy. Fourth, equities experience another good year as P.E. ratios expand for the first time in 6 years. P.E. ratios being the price to earning. We've had a bull market that's been driven by corporate earnings. Earnings have been growing double digits, as I mentioned. The valuation on those earnings, however, has really been shrinking. So the price people pay for earnings has been coming down as measured by the price to earnings ratio. We expect that to start expanding some. So even though we're calling for a slowdown in the rate of corporate earnings growth, we think that you could start seeing people pay a little bit higher valuation for those earnings, and that would allow us to have better equity performance going forward. The fifth projection is that the average stock underperforms the averages of the benchmarks, and large cap and high quality outperform small cap and low quality. What we've seen recently is that the benchmarks themselves, the S&P 500, the Dow Jones Industrial, it's weighted typically, the S&P especially, weighted towards the larger cap stocks. These have not performed as well, so you've had the average stock actually outperforming those benchmarks. This year we may reverse that course and have the average stock underperform. However, larger cap stocks outperform the benchmarks. This should help this portfolio because we are primarily a large cap manager. And in doing that, we feel like it's the top stocks we're buying, the GEs, the Exxons, Walmart, stocks like this, we had a period back in the late 1990s where it was hard to keep up with the indices because larger cap stocks are outperforming. We're in that type of environment, so stock selection will be critical to outperform the overall benchmarks. Sixth projection in terms of where the performance is going to come from in stocks, we feel like a basket of energy, healthcare, and information technology stocks will outperform a group of utilities, telecommunications, and consumer staples. When we get to the actual portfolio and the positioning there, you'll see those are where our overweights are. We still feel like energy stocks are cheap from a valuation standpoint. Healthcare continues to be a good theme because of the demographics. And then information technology, we've had a slowdown of capital spending for several years. We think that companies are going to start catching up there, spending more on their infrastructure and trying to add to the technology component of their businesses. 7 projection, expect the U.S. trade-weighted dollar to move to its lowest level in a decade. It's not as dramatic as it sounds. It's close to that low right now anyway. And what this would mean is that with a lower dollar, multinationals that get a lot of their earnings from sales overseas will benefit. This again plays into large cap theme and the type of stocks that we have in this portfolio. 8th, Japan is the only major country to experience increased nominal growth, leading to equity market outperformance. This last year, while international markets have outperformed U.S. markets as a whole, the Japan market was one of the ones that underperformed. And we feel like the valuations now are pretty attractive there. So in terms of overseas or international stock performance, that's going to be one of the better places to be. 9th, volatility and return spreads increased from historically low levels. We have seen a decline in volatility overall, so we're at extremely low levels. What we're talking about is the day-to-day changes in the market. You've had very few days when the market is up or down more than 3%, 2%, even 1%, and we feel like that could change. You could have more volatility. That could be a result of geopolitical events. Rising world short-term rates is another thing, is that at our rates, we're expecting to level off. Overseas markets, interest rates have been going up. So, again, we're at very low levels of volatility. It would not surprise us to see that increase some. That's not necessarily bad. If the market's going up more than 1 or 2% a day, then most people are pretty happy with that. So, but that is just another thing we would see. And finally, I don't know why Bob does it. It's because of controversy, I guess. He comes in with some kind of political thoughts. Last year he had said that he felt like, not that he had a bias, but he felt like the Republicans would hold both houses of Congress, so we know that was pretty much off the mark in terms of what his projection was. What he does see for the this year is the populist politics experience a renaissance in the United States. He feels like the rhetoric towards a more populist environment will increase. This is due to what you've seen with corporate executives being paid exorbitant amounts. You're seeing a call for higher taxes on the rich and creeping protectionism. So he thinks, again, this is going to be more rhetoric than actual legislation that gets through right now. It could set the tone for the 2008 elections, however. So that's what he throws out there to create controversy, I guess. So in summary, we do feel like the economy will be slowing. We do look for a soft landing in the economy, however, relatively low interest rates, low inflation, and we feel like that the equity markets will enjoy a good year of performance and be the asset class of choice. The biggest risk that we see would be if we're surprised by inflation on the upside. So that would be one thing to watch for. But that said, I'll stop for a second and see if anybody has any questions about any of these particular projections, and then we'll get into the portfolio review. Sal?
Are you forecasting the mortgage rates to be during the next year?
He does not have a specific forecast there, but again, would not be surprised to see the longer-term rates edge up toward 5%. So if you take a relative valuation of the mortgage rates to that, you could see them.
6.5 or 7.5?
He does not have a specific. And I'll say we're calling for that. There are other well-respected economists out there. Bill Gross over PIMCO, who's a big bond manager, is thinking the rates could get down on the 10-year treasury down close to 4%. So I would expect mortgage rates to stay relatively stable, especially if you see housing continue to be slow going forward.
You haven't talked much about energy price this year.
Bob's target is about 50, a range of 50 to 70. We hit close to that 50 right now. We're around 52, I believe, this morning, somewhere in that range. General vicinity. And I've asked him specifically because they're, again, one of the same strategists that is expecting lower rates is actually calling for lower energy prices. While we think that 50 should be about the low, our outlook in terms of the stock prices is that the major integrators right now are discounting about a $40 barrel price. So when I brought that up to Bob in one of our calls that, what if we're wrong and energy prices go a little bit lower, is it going to hurt our energy call? He does not feel like the prices, the $50 to $70 is priced into your energy stocks right now. So, but again, 50 to 70 for a range. All right, if you turn to section 3 in the book, and this is about where we were when Skip was talking. Again, we're managing this portfolio with a benchmark of about 60% equity, 40% stocks, and it's a balanced portfolio. Measured with the S&P 500 for the equities, and then Lehman aggregate for the bonds. We talked about the allocation right now being just a little over 60% in stocks, 36% fixed income, and I'm on page 14 right now, I believe, pie chart. You'll turn to the next page, which has the color wheel. It just lists the top 10 holdings. ExxonMobil is a stock that we've added to, again, getting back to our outlook for energy and the valuation of these stocks. We've had the big run-up in energy prices, but we still seem to feel like they're discounting oil at about $40, so we've still got room to go. And again, in an environment where you're in a slowing economy, people are looking for yield, security, and some of these companies offer both of those. Some of the stocks that have done pretty well for us this year have been the investment banks and brokerage firms. You see we have two stocks in that category in the top 10 holdings, Goldman Sachs, as well as Morgan Stanley, and then a good sprinkling of technology with the Hewlett-Packard and Cisco Systems in there. The next page is the bar charts. It shows where our overweights are. Again, with our outlook coming up, we've got an overweight in energy stocks, technology, and healthcare. They don't always move together. Energy stocks, technology tend to be more cyclical. Healthcare tends to be more defensive. So you can see we've got a fair balance there. We don't have a strong overweight in any of these. We've not had a strong overweight in any of them this past year. It's been more a matter of stock selection. But these are the areas that, as a group, we feel like should perform the best. Looking back this past year, what's helped us the most in terms of the performance of the portfolio, I mentioned the financials, the investment banking firms, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Bear Stearns, Chicago Mercantile Exchange. All these did very well for us. Some of the industrial stocks, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, GE, and CSX. And then technology area, Hewlett-Packard, Cisco, Accenture, and Intuit all helped out. Part of the drag we had actually was in our healthcare. We had managed care companies that had done very well for us the previous year. Those underperformed this year, and that held our performance back a little bit. But as you'll see when we get to performance, we had overall a pretty good year. The next page shows the breakdown of the fixed income. And I'll draw your attention, I guess, to the average maturity, which is in the bottom box, third row down. Our portfolio average maturity is about 5.68 years. The benchmark is about 6.9 years. So we are slightly short of the benchmark in terms of our average maturity. This goes along with our outlook that we could have rising longer-term rates near term. Again, as this does not get to be a drastic over underweight typically, but we will tweak this along the way as we start seeing rates peaking out. So we may start lengthening maturities at that time. Next page, we're on page 18 now, is the performance page. You look at the bottom long box, it shows performance over various periods. Since we meet quarterly last 3 months, we've pretty much been in line with the indices. But if you look to the second column, year-to-date performance, this would be through the end of November. The total portfolio is up 13.24%. The benchmark at the bottom would be 10.33%. This is driven primarily by our equity performance. Equities were up 18.48 versus the S&P up 14.18. And our fixed income pretty much in line, just under 5%. I did get the performance or close to the end of the year performance for the portfolio is going to be about 14.5% versus a benchmark about 11.3%. So again, a very good year in the total portfolio. Equities coming in a little over 20% versus the S&P at 15%. So the year's been pretty strong with equities. We've had a good year on a relative basis, and feel pretty good about that. I would continue to throw out there the idea that this is a purely domestic large cap portfolio. So at some time, you may want to discuss, and we have had some discussions as far as diversifying, getting more international exposure, more small to mid cap. And we'd be happy to, you know, meet with one of your committees to discuss that and in ways we might be able to do that. We've had, when you have a single style portfolio like this, you have more volatility. We saw the volatility back in the early 2000s. It's been in our favor recently, and actually our outlook right now would call for this exact type portfolio to do very well this year. But looking out the next 5 to 10 years, a more diversified approach might reduce that volatility and help you in your planning for this particular plan. Any questions just going back to the outlook or about the portfolio itself? All right. Well, again, we thank you and look forward to meeting with you next quarter.
I'll entertain the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Meeting adjourned.